What's up, Connor?
How are you?
I'm good. I it's funny, we were talking about this yesterday, but it really just the changing, just the leaves being in bloom, it does wonders for me.
I know.
I feel like life is worth living again.
Wait, you really can hear me?
I can hear you perfectly.
Wait, I totally take it back. I think, oh my God, I forgot to tell you, I think I'm going deaf. I had a terrible ringing in my ears yesterday.
Okay.
At my job. I got injured at work. No, sorry. But if you do that.
If you've been injured, you got injured at work.
It was
okay.
Work.
Take that.
No, but I was like, oh, there's like a weird ringing in my head. And I was like, and my birthday's coming up. So I was like, this really is what it is to
age.
To age.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, did you get it checked out or anything?
No, when
well,
I
of course. Yeah,
when
yeah, of course.
To the doctor?
No.
No. So like, it's fine. I forget where I was. I just totally took over.
No, it's okay.
The changing of the seasons.
It's amazing. It's like it gives me new life. It gives me a will to live again. It's
yeah.
crazy.
It's funny because I never forget. I don't think I have depression in the winter, but then I realize how happy I am when it gets.
Oh my
nice
God!
I
it's like
capacity for joy.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I didn't realize I was so sad for the last 3 months.
But I don't think I told you this. I don't think that's seasonal affective disorder. I think that's just like an understandable relationship to the seasons.
No, for sure. I think that we over pathologize being a person. So,
oh my God.
You know,
you're right. Wait, I wanted. I never mind.
Please?
I was gonna say an idea I have for a joke, but I was like, that's not fun. Okay, well, borderline personality disorder is this thing that everyone's ex has. You know what I'm saying? Oh, it is good.
I love that.
This is working it out, Tor. I don't know where I go from there, but I do think that it's just like that's what everyone's ex. Like.
I think you could get into your stuff about your ex through with that. That's fun.
No, also everyone's ex. I feel like everyone.
No, I know, like, but like that to get into your material about that, I'm saying.
No, totally.
Yeah.
He does have that, do you think? Don't you think so?
I don't know.
Okay, so one time I dated a guy that had borderline personality disorder, and I think, and I, it's weird because he's in therapy all the time, and it's like, what are you even doing in there? Like, what are you doing in there, man?
Wait, not to like just cite your jokes, but come to a live show if you want to see him live. But I love the joke about your, the lady you heard as being like, oh, he's in so much therapy, and I feel so left out because I don't know what he talks about in there.
I know.
That is so crazy to me.
She said it's a big part of his, because he goes 2 to 3 times a week. It's a big part of his life that I'm not a part of.
Like, and yeah, like, girl.
Yeah. I didn't even get to a joke there. It was just a story.
I know, but it's like so insane. It's like, yeah.
I've got to go work in public again, because I really heard good stuff when I was working in public. You're right.
What do you mean working in public?
Like, I was at the gym. Like, I heard
when
I was working at, like at the, we work at the gym.
Yeah, you got to listen.
Yeah.
You got to listen up.
It is like, yeah, that's the point of therapy, is that you're not there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd always get nervous when I would date someone that would go to therapy, because I'd be like, what if they kind of uncover stuff about me in there? And then his therapist helps him see the truth. And then
No.
You never know.
You never know. But it's
you
like,
never know.
The therapist is not against you.
Totally.
Unless you're bad.
I think we all can be bad at different times. You know what I mean?
Like, no, for sure. For sure. We can
bad
all be bad.
A spectrum.
Yeah, bad is a spectrum.
Let's think of a time when either of us were bad.
I've been bad.
I don't think I've been bad.
I told you, I don't know if I should say this on pod, but I have an ex who is getting sober and apparently is reaching out to people for amends, but I don't think I'm making the cut.
I'm really upset about that.
No, it's really okay.
I don't want you to have to be apologized to, but I want you to make the cut. Like, I want you to
no,
be able,
totally. It's like
it's
you.
Yours
it's
to
like
reject.
You don't actually want to talk to this person, but you want to be considered.
You want to be able. It's your decision to not be apologized to.
Yes, yes, yes. But anyway,
I'm not someone that can open up old doors in such a way because of sobriety.
Mm.
Because I.
But isn't that a big part of sobriety? Is making amends? That's like one of the steps, right?
Hey. I'm not sober. I'm probably just dry. Do you know what I mean? Like, and that those are different things.
For sure. Yeah.
Like, if I were to reach out to anyone that I loved ever for any period of time, there would be part of me that is actually wants to get back. Like, there would be part of me that
wants to get back with them.
Sees a world where we actually are still rolling under the covers and going to the park. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
There's not. I don't think that it's the same with alcohol. What am I going to? Why would I ever walk down a liquor store? Why would I go into a liquor store? Why? For what purpose?
Just to...
Because there's part of me that's like,
just
maybe
to feel
I'll,
something.
Yes. Then maybe I'll go back into this.
Mm.
I don't think there's a world where I can just dabble in those things.
So you feel you don't have closure on these relationships in that way?
And you can't.
I think you can.
I think my closure is that I need... that you can like love a person or love a thing. Well, I also think there's a joke that it's like, I think you should reach out to your ex to remember why they were so bad. Like, sometimes it's like, I was like, don't text your ex. And I'll be like, maybe you should. Like, maybe you really should.
Yeah.
Because you hold on to the memories that are positive. And it's like, you have to keep... You have to make peace with a world where you love this thing, but you also go and do love other things. And that can still be there, but you just have to like keep living.
Yes. Was it yeah. I mean, I for you or for me? No, it's not bad at all. I think, like, I mean,
you're
I do
like,
think
you're
also
like you're a borderline personality disorder. When,
it seems like, at least in my experience, time heals a lot of those things where you just kind of don't really
totally
feel that romantic feeling anymore. Yeah. Well, I feel like I have exes that I've like grown up past in a way where yeah, I feel like they're stuck in time and I'm not. And so like, it's God. There's no need. Why would I go back? That would be like regression.
You're describing Right Where You Left Me by Taylor Swift, one of the bonus tracks in Evermore.
Well, she puts it best. So if I'm in, you know,
yeah.
Wait, I know a boys club that you have been talking about. Gigi Perez.
Oh, you listened to it?
I haven't yet. No, but because I didn't have time last night. I was editing the podcast, so I didn't have time. I was listening to us. But I will listen to her today.
I wish I could
I'll inspire
listen
to her
on my
walk
today. Gigi Perez will. It is, I'm telling you, it is the best thing I've ever heard. And I'm like, but I have low expectations for sure. Because always. But it is so good that I'm worried that it's better than Julian. No, not to compare. It is like, I would put it in the Julian Baker bucket.
Is Gigi queer?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. It is funny because of all of our friends, the one who's like really supporting queer women is me. But I think it's because like there's a depression thing going on where it's like.
I was just talking. Yes, that is a depression thing. But Maddie and I were just talking about you as like somebody we were like, Connor actually has more like a variety of queer women friends than this other comic who said some stuff.
Wait. This is why we need a notepad so we can write
who we were talking about on the live show.
Of course.
It's like you actually have more queer women friends.
I should get up there and say stuff. Do you want me to go comment on lesbian sex on the thing? Also, never mind. But what they were describing, I was like, that sounds amazing. I was like, that's kind of what I'm like going for.
That's side culture.
I was like, a well-placed knee can really go far. I was like, I don't even know what you're doing with it, but like, I know.
No, 100%.
I love to use a knee to be like, this is how limber I am.
Yeah. Like, yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to think if I have any boys clubs.
Gigi Perez, the album, I'll speak to this. The album is literally incredible. It's so good. I'm worried. I'm already like, fuck, this is going to be my top five.
Yeah.
For sure. The titular song. Yeah. Titular song.
Titular.
I know stuff is life. Life. What's it called? Life.
On the beach or something like that?
Yes. Like, no, at the beach in every life. I listen to it so much. I listen to it at the gym on the treadmill. It's about a 4-minute song, which we'll get to when we talk to our guests because I'm doing the Norwegian 4x4. It doesn't matter, but not in a bad way.
No problem.
Not in a bad way.
No problem.
And, but yeah, I think it's so, every song is just so, oh my God.
You should watch this movie called, I think it's called About Time. No, it's not the one.
With Rachel McAdams?
No, it's not that one. Totally. I love that movie. No, it's something else.
That's when everyone
No,
was
it's
like,
called Comet. It's called Comet. It's with Justin Long.
Okay.
You know him?
Yeah, he was in that movie with the monster.
For sure.
I saw that in Rhode
yes,
Island
he was.
For $4.
Well, so Justin Long is in this movie, and it's like this really interesting like time. It plays with time in a really interesting way in the movie because it's kind of like a lot of these memories of these like it's about these two people who are in an on again off again relationship, and we kind of come into these little spurts of moments like when they met and like when they broke up and all these other times, and you're kind of piecing it together in a funky sort of like the time play is like funky as you're moving through
the
movie. Yeah, I forget who it is though. And then at the end, they have this final scene where he like comes to talk to her for the last time, but she's pregnant and she's like with somebody else. And he just like stares at her and he's like, there's a universe that exists where we're together, and that's the universe that my heart lives in. And it's like so devastating.
Hide the window. Jump right now.
But I think you would like it.
Wait, that's like that movie where Miles Teller hits that baby with their car and then... Nicole Kidman is the mom,
different one.
And she says, "There's another universe where I'm making pancakes for my baby that died." You don't know this movie?
Wow.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to be a film bro. Accidentally. God, check out my letterbox.
Yeah.
yeah, that's really tough.
Yeah, you should watch it. I think you'd like it.
It is tough that there's yeah, there must be.
I watched it when I was fresh out of a breakup, and I would just sob.
Yeah,
because that's how I felt.
Those are the ghost ships that didn't carry us. We must salute them from shore.
Taylor,
Cheryl Strayed.
We are so into quoting Cheryl Strayed's Wild on this podcast.
We are Glennon Doyle and Glennon Doyle. This is a Glennon Doyle podcast.
Glennon Doyle would fuck with us hard. Jesse said to me the other day, somebody would snort me like a line of coke, and I thought that was such a funny way to say it.
I love that. That's really fun.
Anyway, should we bring our guest in?
Yeah.
Boys, we have an all-time great on the podcast today. We are so excited that he's here. He's a great friend of ours. He helped us work, not just helped us work, he directed and helped produce our short Boys Club.
And edited.
He's an incredible filmmaker. He's a director. He's an editor. He's kind of running the gamut, and he's so, so fucking talented. We're so lucky to work with him. We love him as a friend. He just ran a half marathon. What else can you say about this beautiful boy? Boys, please welcome Alex Smithline.
Hello.
What's up, dude?
What up, guys?
How are you?
I'm great. I'm a little sore. I ran yesterday, so like, yeah, waist down, it's just all numb.
Had you ever run like a long race like that before?
No. Back in high school, I would do the 300 hurdles, so that's like less one lap.
Yeah,
and now I did 13.1 miles, which
holy
is
cow.
Awful.
Had you been running a bunch before that, like to like lead up to it?
So December, like late December, my girlfriend was like, hey, let's go run a half marathon. And I said, sure. And then she handed me a little training program. And I'm like, why do we need a training program for a 5K? And she's like, that's not the same thing. So we've been running ever since, like four times a week.
Wow.
You know?
Where do you run? Don't say, actually.
Oh, okay.
I just remember that we're not supposed to say where you live.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't live here. So at this, I would run in Prospect Park. And I don't live by Prospect Park.
Wait, I'm
yeah.
really
so
intrigued
okay
by
there.
Such a thing, because I tried to run there and then I would get stressed out because I was like, well, I'm going to miss my off ramp and then have to be like stuck in this forever.
No. I hear you there. Because like, there's a point when you run where you like you never want to go run when you're on the far side, because then you have to like walk another 2 miles. And then
your
whole day's
ruined. I was
confused
by the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need someone to show it to me. Is that the dumbest thing I've ever said?
No. Like
a Sherpa.
Where to run.
And be like, this is what people, this isn't an invitation.
Maybe a run club is what you're asking for.
I need a run club. Yeah. I keep meaning to, okay, my New Year's resolution is to go to a run club and join Animal. To join a run club and go to Animal.
My New Year's resolution, right, it was to do this half marathon. And
so
now,
you did it.
Now that I've done check. It, you know, we're in May.
Yeah,
right?
The year's
so,
a wash. You're
so
good.
What do I do
are
now?
Are you hungry?
I'm so hungry.
Do like, a bar?
Well, I'm okay right now, but like right after the marathon, I had French toast, I had steak, and I had cacio pepe pasta.
Wait,
which I feel
yeah.
like
what's
just,
that?
It's like this,
it's like a
cheese.
Peppery, cheesy,
yeah, pasta.
Pasta sauce, super good,
yeah, very tasty.
Did you get like the like Teflon like thing? Did they give you one of those?
No, and I was so mad because everyone had that. Too,
yeah,
and we just didn't know where to go. They gave me a medal, but I what I remember is Chuck Schumer was at the end of the race, and he was just
in
like,
person.
In person, he was like a statue, just like this the entire time. And then you just kind of like gave him a high five. He kind of felt like a cardboard stand.
He touched everyone's hand.
Yeah.
They're like Weekend at Bernie's, Chuck Schumer just put him yeah.
There you go.
That's kind of gross.
Yeah.
No, not you.
No, damn, I didn't.
I was though kind of gross. I smelled so bad after.
No,
yeah.
Like, I mean,
some people are into that.
Fair for honestly, you guys had a nice day yesterday. I mean, was the wind fucked up though?
No, it was perfect. Like, yeah. It was like 50 when we started running, and then the sun came out and it was like 60s around mile 6, and then the wind came back in toward the end, and that's when you're like really sweating.
Yeah,
so it like, cooled you off.
Do you know what mile you're on?
Right now in life,
like at any given moment.
Yeah. They had these big signs that said like mile 1, 2, 3, 4.
And you didn't listen to music or anything?
No, I did.
Dancing
I
on my own. You said
yeah. My final three songs were Dancing on My Own, The Middle by Jimmy Eat World, and then I Got a Feeling by
nice.
The Black Eyed Peas.
Do you like Sweet?
I got a feeling.
And Sweetener. Do you like Sweetener?
I do like Sweetener. Yeah.
Sweetness.
Did you run with Maddie?
I did. So nice. That was the whole thing. At first, she was like, "Oh, you don't have to run with me. Just train with me." And then toward the end, I realized, "Oh, I need to be by her because
yeah.
I will not finish this unless I was next
yeah,
to her."
Yeah. And are you good at pacing yourself? Or do you just like sprint out
so,
and not know?
So in the beginning, I was like a Muppet, like running around, like I was just like doing like fun like little like gestures toward everyone as I was running
yeah.
and stuff like that. And like Maddie was like in the zone, like, "No, we're pacing right here." You
yeah.
know? And then by mile 8, I was slowing down, and luckily she was right there, like kind of like keeping me going.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, she told me, she was like, "We're gonna go sprint at the very end," you know. So for the final mile and a half, we just sprinted. And
mile and a half.
Yeah.
Christ.
Yeah. And we went from like a 10 and a half minute pace to like an 8 minute pace.
Shit.
For the final mile. And then she beat me by a second.
Go Maddie.
Which good for her, you know.
Yeah.
Was your Apple Watch right about 13.1?
My Apple Watch, this guy right here, dies whenever I run. So like it just didn't
oh,
work.
Oh, then what's the point? Apple, you owe us money. You owe you Alex a new Fitbit.
I would love a new watch.
A new Onigoin apology. They
We shouldn't get into that.
Wait, no. What did they do? I'm so curious.
Well, we just had like an explosive breakup where there was a lot. There's apologies to be had on both sides, okay, for cool. sure. But they definitely did say some things to me that were not, was not cool. And got they it. Probably should have apologized for that. But the reality is, if we ever had that conversation, we both owe each other an apology. So,
and also an apology to me just for bearing witness for what true. I was put out to go
true,
through.
True. And honestly, their friend owes me an apology for being a dickhead. Connor's got horns up now. Should we talk a little bit about our project?
When did you know you wanted to be involved with queer film? Do you know that you're like a leading queer filmmaker?
Connor's in queer media.
How Boys Club came to me was in the summer. I was with our friend Will DeVito, who he produces with me a lot.
He took the very first picture of us, which was based on Fight Club.
Yeah,
our Fight Club poster. Like, oh, actually,
it's like somewhere here.
Actually,
right?
Yeah. Wait, yeah. Thank you for saying that. Oh, wait, we're gonna have so much to say about this poster, Nico. You know, no, don't fall.
Yeah, there's
Nico,
a lot.
You
to
know
say.
Why?
I do know why.
Wait, it's this. You don't like it, right?
You want to put it in frame so people can see it?
Wait, should we?
Okay, I mean, if you can reach it, yeah. So people can see it. Oh, there we go.
He's reaching forward right now.
Okay.
There we go. Beautiful. So this is the silhouette of the first poster that Will made for us.
This is my old hairline. Okay.
And that's my old jawline pre-T. So.
Wait, obsessed with that. And also my old jawline pre-F. Filler. Sorry.
F for filler.
Before I met a girl named Kelsey in Soho. Okay.
People are like, are you taking T? Are you taking E? You're taking F. You're yeah, taking filler.
Pops, which we have here if you want one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, sweet Will DeVito.
My
but anyway,
ex taught me that.
That's why it's charged.
Yeah. So like Will, I was like, you know, we were doing a bunch of corporate work for all these clients, and I looked at him. I'm like, you know what? We should do a fun narrative project. Let's go reach out to some of our friends and see like who has a great idea that we can go ahead and kind of go make a reality. And I remember he told me that you guys had this 22-minute pilot, mm-hmm. right? For the original Boys Club. And when we started talking, I'm like, if they found a way to go like make like a shorter version of this, like I would love for us to go ahead and go make this project a reality. And it was one of those things where like when you guys came along with the project, we read this, you guys gave us like three scripts to read, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember we were just laughing so hard during it, mm-hmm. and which is always really great. And it just seemed like a really cool opportunity to go ahead and make something funny. And also like during the, like this really like awful time in America and the world. It was just a really just fun way to go spend our entire fall.
Yeah. Totally, dude. We felt the same way. We were like, this Will is somebody that we've been, you know, kind of knew about this project early on because he used to work at the production company that was helping us take out the original half hour version of this. So he was like privy to the project from like day one, basically, mm-hmm. and was always such a supporter of it, and was like, if you guys ever end up making this like in a different way, like hit me up, you know, we, or if you're making something else, like we want to make stuff. And then it just kind of worked out that we were like, okay, we're gonna get the rights to this back, let's find a way to make it ourselves. And then we were so lucky that Will had already like been in our ear about it, and so it just like felt like the perfect fit. And then you and Wesley coming along, I mean, that was just like, it's like such a dream team. We're so lucky. You guys yeah. are all so great at what you do, and it's been like so much fun to work on. And we learned so much in the process of like writing it, obviously, but then like being on set with you guys, I feel like we learned so much. And then being in the edit with you, we learned much. I feel like maybe you feel this too. I think we all learned a lot about just like how to do the next one.
No, for sure.
You know,
it's the thing. I remember when we sent you guys, I think like the first cut, and I was like, the jokes aren't going to work just yet. Like wait a second. Right, we're going to go figure it out. We're going to just, this is our baseline right here. And then we're just going to keep on like making it be a little bit better. A little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. And then by the very end, like, it was like a nonstop, like, we had nonstop laughs the entire, like, in the entire way through, which is great.
Yeah.
One of my friends gave me this great note for doing anything comedy, which is like, if a joke's not working, cut it out, you know? And for you guys, what was so great is that we were cutting it out, we were changing jokes, we were adding jokes all the way through. Like, mm-hmm. one of my favorite segments is when you... we see the Grindr notifications on the phone.
Yeah.
And I remember how that was a B unit day, a second unit day. And we were like, okay, we only have one shot for like Connor to like, go ahead and,
send
go send
tap.
You. Yeah. Send,
yeah. We only had the
if
one
you
want to
see my underwear, IMDb
it's
trivia,
technically in there.
That's me. Me is it's me in my underwear. And I look really good. But no one ever said that on set. Interesting. Okay.
But what I'll always remember though is like as soon as like you made it so like anyone could go message you, like we got a random stranger message you before Connor. And that always just made me smile.
Yeah. No, even on the, if you see in the video, there's a moment where I have two Grindr messages, and the first one is a legit message that somebody sent me, and then the second one is the fake one that we did for the shoot. But it's it was funny because that app, as soon as you open it, they come a knocking. Wait, I was gonna say something about the process of making this. You know, I also found when we were doing the edit that was like really interesting. It's like so funny to like, I don't know, things that feel like they work as is. I don't know, like that you think that like you see it in your head, but then like when you're doing it in the edit, like you have to like really adjust certain things. And it's so funny how like just like the littlest changes can just make a joke go from really not working to being like the perfect landing of it. It's so much more technical and interesting, and I feel like it really helped us think about like, okay, how are we going to do our performances next time around? How are we going to like think through all these things when we're prepping for the acting portion of this and prepping when we're writing? I think it affected our writing in the next couple episodes.
Yeah. It's interesting the way that, like in stand up, I think like we talk about cadence and like tone, like everyone has their own cadence and it's like unique to them and it affects how the jokes land or don't land. Whereas I feel like editing is its own like cadence, its own thing. And like the joke is only half of it. The editing is like the whole thing. Like,
well, I do this analogy with my friends where it's like when you make a movie, you make three movies, right? Mm-hmm. The first is the movie that's in your head that you write down, right? Then the second movie is the movie that you shoot, right? And like things go wrong, a location might drop, an actor might drop, but you have to still figure it out. And then the only movie that matters is the third movie, which is the movie that you've edited and shown to everyone else. Yeah. That's what they see.
Yeah. It's crazy. But anyway, we showed it last night. I ran my hour at Union Hall and Connor came and opened and hosted for me. And we played it at the end for both shows, 5 and 7 o'clock shows.
Oh my gosh.
And it had great reception. People were dying. Yeah. And, you know, we got some good pops of the laughs. Like it was fun to watch with other people and like see this, their like live reaction to it, because it was like both shows I thought reacted to it differently, but both like positive.
But
the same sort of jokes got like the big pops, which was like really interesting.
Yeah.
And like reaffirming that, okay, those really work and like that. Yeah. So.
Wait, what were the big laughs? I'm kind of curious.
People loved Everybody on Fire Island Looks the Same. How Are Girls Gonna Know I'm Moody and Complicated.
I'm about to be clean from klepto in
about 2 weeks. Yeah, and
you're not a top. Yes, I am.
Yes, I am. Those I got probably the biggest laughs. But a lot of I thought all the jokes got pretty good like response, and people were into it. So, so it's getting good love.
That's awesome. I think that's one of the biggest difference between like editing and stand up is stand up. You say the joke right there that night, and you know whether or not if it works or not, and you can kind of go ahead and keep like refining and whatnot. But for editing, it's very much like a solidary like process. Like the only time I knew if it would work or not is when I would show it to you guys.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, okay, cool. Nico laughed right here. That means this joke is still working. Or, oh man, Connor didn't laugh at this one joke. Well,
I don't
why
laugh.
Is that?
I'm not a laugher.
Connor in the editing session just stonewalled super serious.
Yeah, Connor. And then I
think the whole time I was like, do you guys feel like I overacted in that? wait, be honest. Did I overact when I say Tyler tapped me? I know he still loved me.
No,
I don't think so at all.
People were also laughing at that last night. People laughed at that when you said, oh, Tyler just tapped me. I had no idea. That got a good laugh,
my
especially
dad
in the first
I overact.
One.
He said,
well, does he act?
My dad of the Stella Adler University.
Your dad of Juilliard fame.
He said, yeah, I do think so. But he says, like, that was the only time, though.
Did you lead the witness with that, though? Did you say, do you think I overacted? You probably did, okay? I know, that's been, like...
Did you lead the witness? I love that.
Part of the thing I feel like that we also had to, like, push through in this was, like, both of us having these, like, sort of visceral responses to our own performance and being like, oh, that part sucks, and the other one being like, no, that's great. Like, and it's like, oh, that's just me being like, I suck, but it's just my own head.
And Amy Poehler says, if you're trying to be cool, you're already too late, and I think she also means hot as well.
Yeah,
I do think she means hot.
If you're trying to be a comedian, that's for sure.
It's too late.
It's too late.
Too late.
Yeah, but it's been, so that was like I think that's another thing that's good about having like a two people doing this, like on like that creative end of it, because we can keep each other in check and be like, you didn't overact. You did a great job with that. Or like, you know, that part isn't stupid. You're just being negative on yourself, you know?
It's not stupid. You were loved wrong. You were loved wrong, and it's not your
it's
fault.
It's not stupid. Your inner child speaking.
Let them speak. I loved, but it's so funny because what you're saying is true. It's like with stand up, you get up and you hear when people laugh, and then you always try to like work on this thing. And it's also, it like lives one time and never lives again. Whereas in this, it is so solitary. You're like putting words on a page that you think are funny and you hope they're funny. And even just having one, like writing in a duo Will Ferrell says this, that when you write in a duo, it's like nice because you just like get rid of bad ideas really fast.
Yeah, yeah,
yes, 100%. I mean, we've both written stuff separately as well, and it's just never as fun, at least for me. I don't know how you feel, but like, it's
no,
just
I can't do that.
So much better to like, even when we're just like over FaceTime doing it and being able to like, you know, say all the dumb things that actually aren't going to go in there and make each other laugh that way. It just creates a better environment too, to like, you're just looser and more creative because we're trying to make each other laugh.
But I love the way you say that, because you're so right. That's like the dumb things that aren't going to go in there. But I'm usually like, wait, so we're not putting the joke about 9/11 in? Wait, we're not doing the 9/11? As like Osama bin Laden reference, let's go.
Like, well, I feel like we have a good balance because like you have always a million more jokes where like the last one came from, which is one of the reasons I love writing with you and think you're so brilliant. Like you just always have so much more in the tank. But like I think where my skill set comes in too is being like, okay, if we take 3 minutes to just do every single joke, we're never gonna get to the next thing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, but you're like, extremely structured.
But you're the one that's got like a lot of the like the extra, like, I don't know, some of the funniest lines like you come up with. And then
I think where your skill set comes is that is also, and then also structurally, you're extremely strong.
Thank you.
You know how to make an A and a B. Okay, sorry, this is the Sorry Suck Dick podcast. You know how to make an A and a B really come to like really collide.
Thank you.
Crash into each other.
Yeah,
like it's nobody's business.
Thank
Which
you.
In this town, yeah, we're still trying to do that.
Yeah.
We're actually still trying to do that.
I want to also just like learn more about like how you got into directing and filmmaking and stuff. I mean, were you somebody who was always like knew that was what you wanted to do?
In third grade, I found a webcam in my house, and I was like, I'm gonna go ahead.
And it was looking at my pillow, and that was weird.
It was like I was on Omegle.
Some of my best friends were over, and we made a Star Wars 7 before Star Wars 7 was on iMovie. And it became this thing whenever my friends would come over, rather than like go ahead and like play baseball or basketball or whatever kids do, we would make movies.
Yeah.
And for me, like my inspiration growing up was like all the Disney Channel original movies, like High School Musical, Camp Rock, Lemonade Mouth. We didn't like, but we liked, like Minutemen and Smart Home and things like that.
Totally.
I thought that was like pure cinema.
Smart Home. So know? Interesting.
Yeah. Did you ever watch Smart Home?
Yeah. LeVar it really Burton. Predicted AI.
Yeah.
Way ahead of its time.
It's like, you're not the only one that lost someone, Sam. Because like, have you seen it? You're young for Smart Home.
I think
you're
I have seen it though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it very pretty much predicted AI, that lady, and yeah. You're not the only one who lost someone, Sam. That's me. One day I want to be in a movie and be like, I'm your wife. That's my dream.
So I just kept making movies. And then in middle school, we would have these like big group projects, and rather than like do a PowerPoint or presentation, I would do like a movie about the Greek mythology, the underworld, and things like that. And I would always get these big laughs during the movies. And I started to like really like just like try. I wanted to get that reaction out of people in any way, whether it's through horror, through comedy, through drama. And then I my dad, he was like more of a computer guy, so like very like computer science heavy, math, all that stuff. So he thought I was gonna go down the computer pathway. And by my like junior year of high school, he's like, "You're choosing film, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he was so supportive. He's like, "Well, I like how does that work? Like the whole." Making people feel stuff. Like he came from it from like a very scientific mind.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, well, if I'm trying to go ahead and like make, find a cure for X disease or whatever, like, you know, I do all this research behind it and there's a lot of like work. Like, how do you do that for a joke? And that's when I started to think about like the planning aspect of filmmaking, right?
Yeah.
If you want a joke to go ahead and read on camera, like how do you do that? And because you don't want anything to go distract away from the joke. So it's like, you're like, well, I'll go ahead and I'll do a table read to see if the joke works there.
Yeah.
And then after the table read, I'm like, well, how can I go amplify that? Well, what are the outfits they're wearing? You know, just do the outfits distract from the joke? And then it's just that building nature. You just kind of try to go remove any variable that like, gets that distracts from the joke, so that when people are watching the thing, the only thing they're thinking of is, oh, that was really funny, I'm gonna go laugh. And so that's kind of how I really started to like really fall in love with the whole filmmaking aspect. It's this idea that all these strangers can go ahead and go watch this piece of art and they'll all have the same reaction, you know, which I think is really cool. Like a good movie, when you're watching a good movie, like everyone's blinking at the same time. You know, they're laughing at the same time. They're smiling at the same time. They're crying at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's just figuring out, how do you do that? How do you speak that language That for me, I think is just so special because it kind of shows like how, despite all these different experiences we all have, like we all kind of react the same way when given the same prompt.
Yeah. So definitely. I relate to that so much. And to bring it back to stand up a little bit, like one thing I like about stand up and I found this kind of works in obviously in filmmaking and stuff too. Like there, it's an art, but there's also a science to it where it's like, it is trial and error. You got to go just try it and see if it works. Like to your point with the table read, like you just got to go try and see if it works and then like and watch it fail or watch it do well and make adjustments just like you would in a science experiment where you're adjusting variables to see the outcome and you just gotta and I think people like to think it's like more off the cuff or it's just like, you know, you're just speaking this way or whatever, but it is so deliberate and so scientific and it's like there I love the balance of like control and sort of complete artistic spontaneity of outcome, you know?
So, like, one thing that I talk with Wesley a lot about is, like, you know, there's certain angles for when you're filming something that things will just naturally look better at, and he'll always be like, oh, if there's any way the actors can go ahead and, like, be pointed toward, you know, where the light's behind them, like, that would look really good for camera. And then I'm always like, but what if the actors want to go the other way instead? You know, like, what if, because my big thing right here is, like, I want the actors to go explore the space and figure it out on for themselves where it feels authentic for them.
Yeah.
And that you still get that spontaneity, but at the same time, you get it in a way where it looks perfect for camera. And for me, that's always my favorite challenge. One of my favorite moments, I think, was like in this episode was there was a moment where I have you guys get up on the couch and I have you guys move over to like to the right side of the room or, mm-hmm. or whatever. And I think like I told you guys, I'm like, oh yeah, there's a big beat change right here. You know, like Connor's filled with his energy. He just has to go ahead and get on up. But the reality was is that the camera just looked better with Connor standing up because of the frame right behind him right there. But so it was that way of just trying to figure out what felt natural for Connor to go stand up, but at the same time also go ahead and just look good for camera.
Yeah. It's wild. I mean, again, to get back into like the nitty gritty of it, like we learned so much in the process of doing this and like things like that where it's like, oh yeah, like when we're writing, it's like, you know, we don't necessarily write all of those, you know, movement action lines, right? Like a lot of it's in the dialogue and then it's like, we'll find it on set. We'll figure that part out. But, and then it comes, yeah, like you don't realize, oh, when we get there on the day, it's going to be a conversation between Wesley, our cinematographer, you, our director, the two of us, like what, you know, like where can we physically be like that the sound, you know, there's so many people in this tight room that are trying to make it look like nobody else is in there, that it's like a real set, you know what I mean? And it's like, there's so many little things that go into just the smallest thing of like, how do we catch this moment of Connor standing?
But then,
it's crazy.
Though you have these other moments of spontaneity where like, I remember during the rehearsal when we were at the park and we were like, how does Nico go from the tree to like entering this conversation between like Max and Connor, you know? And I remember you were like, well, what if I crawl over the table? And I was like, yeah, actually let's try that right there. And I wasn't even thinking for camera because I'm like, oh, that's going to be so tough for Wes. But
yeah.
I'm like, let's just see if Wes can get it.
Yeah.
And it was just so funny just to see that physical movement of you literally going over this huge blockade to kind of go ahead and go back up your friend. That for me, it's
which
one
is
of
so
my favorite moments.
Because it's the smallest table. It's like, go around. It's like, go around.
Well, it's funny because like the first time I think we did it, I was kind of like going like around it. And then I like went back for the second one. I was like, I think it'd be funny if I just like fuck like gremlin style crawl over this thing because that is like very his energy at that point in the scene. And it ended up just like, yeah, working really funny. I always love to do like some stupid physical thing like that. I think it's like,
it's like randomly giving High School Musical in this weird way. Remember when they get on the lunch table and they're like, yeah, this is not what I want.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
Like I'm going to do a dance number on the table or something. Yeah. But yeah, that's
a motif. I don't know. Is that a motif? No, well, that's not a motif.
An homage.
That's an homage. That's an homage to other art. Musical.
That's cool. And so then you got to college. You studied it there.
Yeah, I met all of these great friends. The reason why you go to film school is just to go meet friends.
Yeah.
You know?
That's nice.
It's so nice. My weekends where I was on a film set every single weekend making a movie with friends. And you would make like all kinds of things. Like we would do like experimental art. We would do horror pieces. We would do dramas. We wouldn't do a lot of comedies. Though randomly.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because I'm like, oh, I love comedies. Why don't we do comedies? And so like the comedy aspect kind of came in after college when I was in New York and just all of my friends were in the comedy scene. And I feel like when you're in New York or you're an independent filmmaker, You're always trying to go find ways to go make stuff with creative people. And for a lot of us, it's through music videos. You know, there's a
right.
band, an artist, they go ahead and they have like a little bit of money to put toward this thing. And you can go ahead and go and express yourself that way. But no artist has ever asked me to go make a music video. So for me, I've been really fortunate where I've been able to go work with all these comedians who have these really great ideas, who can go ahead and go improv and fix things on the fly, which has been like just so much fun. And like after I just did a 22-minute pilot over a 5-day shoot like last week. And I remember we have to go shoot these scenes over and over again from different angles. And I remember I ended my coverage on this one guy named Andy Junk. He's this improv comedian, super talented, super funny. And I just let him riff for 10 minutes and the entire crew was laughing. And it was after a 12-hour day.
Yeah.
And it was the perfect way to go end a day because you're around somebody who's just making you laugh.
Yeah. And this is something I'm like excited as we get to make more of these, that we get to like continue to like fine tune our process and like figure things out, because I love like, you know, getting the coverage, doing it the way that's written, figuring out those beats, and then doing one where it's just like, and let's just, now that we've done it a bunch of times, let's just do it, throw everything to the wind and do it like improv. And I think like, yeah, some of the best moments can come out of that, especially after you've like embodied the character for a couple takes and you've like got that and like you have that rigidity of like who you've morphed into, and then you get to like play within that. I find that really fun. And I think we got a couple of moments out of that. Like, and you know, Max has that great line where he said, I'm about to be clean in about 2 weeks and like all that. Like we found a lot of really good stuff in the improv. Yeah.
I'll kill myself tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think that for me, that's my favorite line, yeah. You know, in the whole episode.
That got a huge laugh ad-libbed. Too. Yeah. Yeah.
That was ad-libbed. The "Guess I Am" was not the only version of that, but that was the one that hits the hardest.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Cause I think the original script was like, I feel like was that in the original script?
I don't remember. I think so.
I was really pushing it all is what I remember. But I'm glad we didn't go with
it. But it also like, it's like, again, we were just talking about this because we've been in the process of like putting this out. We've put out a bunch of stills as well, like almost like little like, you know, screen grabs of the episode with the text. And that's been a really fun way to like get the content out there and stuff. But it's funny because like something like that, on paper, you know, "Yes, I Am" doesn't read, but when you hear him say it in his whiny voice, like that's the funny part. So like, even to your point, like, yes, on paper, it didn't fully read, but then Charlie's delivery made it killed perfect, it. Right?
Yeah.
It's like,
shout out Charlie.
And it's like those things you can't know until we're there and we're making it, which is like some of the fun too.
I remember I wrote down in my little like director notes for like how I wanted that line to be said. And you'll never like tell an actor like, go ahead and be sad. Cause like, what is that?
Yeah.
It's a caricature. But I wrote down like, this is the wimpy kid grown up.
You know? No, he played it perfectly. "Yes, I Am." It's so good. It's so good. That's awesome. And then, you moved here. And then how long ago did you, Wes, and Will start Another Wednesday?
So we have a production company, Another Wednesday, and we started it a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago now. It originally was a reason for, we had a great opportunity where this film equipment came into our hands and we just needed a way to go ahead and go get insurance for it. And the only way to do that apparently is through making a company. And then it became a thing though where we really looked at all three of us. Wesley, you know, he's our DP, our cinematographer. Will is a really talented producer and also a great director. And then me, I direct a lot of stuff. It became a way for all of us to kind of go ahead and just work together. And make cool projects together and work with people that we've always admired. And it was something where for us, we joke like we're kind of like boy genius in the sense that we all have our solo careers, you know, working in corporate events or working with other stand-up comedians and projects like that. But when we come together, like that's when we have the most fun.
Yeah.
Because we get to go ahead and go play to our talents really well. And it's just been a constant thing we've been working on this year and last year on how do we find more opportunities for all of us to kind of go ahead and work together. And we've kind of created this nice little niche where we go to comedians, we go to other artists, and we're like, if you have an idea that you've been working on for a while, but you just don't know like how to go translate it from the paper to the screen, like you reach out to us. We will help you. We are some of the most supportive people around. We don't want to change your idea. We don't want to go ahead and tell you can't do X, Y, or Z. We're always yes anding the whole entire way. Like, how do we translate this 22-minute pilot into a 10-minute piece? How do we go ahead and stage it in a way where the joke or the story continues to be told? And also with your budget, how do we go ahead and make it work where the crew is supported, you guys are supported, and we come across with a really amazing piece of work that everyone can go ahead and go see.
Yeah, totally. I mean, we felt that support all the way through. Yeah, you guys were, like, such good partners to us, and, you know, there's something, like, I think a lot of comics, you know, that we're around and stuff, you know, there's so much talk about, like, networking and finding people, and I think so many people get stuck on this idea of, like, sort of like vertical networking, where you're looking at up ahead of you, like, who's somebody who's already achieved something that I want to get, which is not a bad way to, like, see a future for yourself or be like, okay, how do these next steps happen? But I think there's so much value in that sort of, like, horizontal networking of, like, people that are, you know, doing the same kind of stuff around the same stage in their career that you are. And I think we were so lucky to find, you know, people that were in, like, a different element of this world than we are that can come together with us and are just as excited and wanting to make things, and, like, at a point in their career where they're like, we'll hustle, we'll do it for cheap, we'll do it for, you know, whatever we got to do to make it happen, and we're just, like, excited to be making things. And, like, that was, like, invaluable to us as, like, partners, because it just, like, you know, so many people pay the lip service to doing it, but, like, you guys are actually, like, there with us in the trenches, like, down to make things happen, which is, like, invaluable.
Our big thing for projects like Boys Club, where you know, like, budget was, we made it for $1,000.
Yeah,
like, really, really little. It's when we're doing a project like that for barely any money, we the only thing that matters for us is the final project.
Yeah,
you know, so, like, if we're gonna go put in a month or 2 months or 3 months worth of our time to go ahead and go make this, we want it to be as good as possible.
Yeah,
and so, like, the big thing, and it's a big testament not just to us but to our crew, you know, it's just making sure that we foster like a good environment on set where, like, I tell my entire crew, like, if you have an idea, like, even if you're a camera department or you're an arter or whatever, like, I want to hear it. If you hear a joke and, like, you didn't like how Connor said it, you know, like, let me know. Like, let's go workshop it right here, because it's all about giving your crew and the cast and everyone ownership over the project.
Definitely.
To go ahead and go make this really, really amazing piece of work. And yeah. So for Boys Club, what I really loved about it is there are, like, certain moments in that episode where I'm like, oh, that was Kenzie's idea right there.
Yeah.
You know? Or, oh, Jordan had a really good idea just to go ahead and go make this one joke work with a little bit of a camera movement. And just seeing that for me just makes me smile so much.
100%.
And it, we're really lucky to have a crew that kind of has kept on following us through all of these projects.
Totally.
And making cool stuff like this.
Yeah. And I think it's, like, kind of, you know, there's a world where, like, you know, for us on set, like, there's an ego about it where you're like, oh, you know, like, this isn't your project. Like, shut up. You know, like,
yeah,
which
yeah,
obviously
yeah.
is not our attitude. But I feel quite the opposite, because it's like, you know, when we're around all these people that we know, like somebody like Kenzie, who's a great friend of ours, and Jordan, who's wonderful, like, you know, I feel very held by the idea that, like, everybody around us is, like, tuned in and wanting to make this great, and you and I, when we're acting, can just focus on yeah. the acting, even though we're also, like, you know, the fathers of this project.
I would walk up and tell people, like, I'm the EP, do you need anything?
Yeah, no. EP,
even though you have nothing to give.
Do you feel supported?
Do you need anything? I can EP, get you a no. coffee creamer.
I know I'm wearing a scarf, but I'm the EP. That gay guy in the fur coat's the EP. That is crazy.
No, totally. But you know what
it's
I mean?
It's true, though. What I really liked about this entire process is that I had a very clear job. And it's like, you have this one thing to focus on.
As the EP.
As the EP. But also to your point about the acting, it's like, yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'm going to sit here and I trust that what you're filming over there behind the tree is what needs to, whatever. Like, that's not my circus, not my whatever. Like,
yeah.
You, I feel you, like, you had, like, your finger on the, you were in charge of everything.
Yeah.
In a good way. Like, yeah, where it was yeah, like, yeah. No, everyone has a role here. Everyone's role is very clear, which, like, so much of our lives as just, like, stand-up writers are like, what should we be doing? Like, yeah, yeah. So we're like, this week versus these 2 days, it was just like, this is what you're supposed to be doing.
Yes.
Shh, you just sit here and wear your scarf wrong, and yeah. that's it.
But it's such a luxury that we, like, got to work with people that we trust and care about, because yeah. like, you then you get to, like, you know, we get to just dive into just the acting, and I know that, like, if there's something that's not working on camera, there are people around that are gonna say, have these ideas, and you guys can have those conversations and be making it better, and, like, we don't have to be, like, running to Video Village after every take, like, checking on it or whatever. Like, we just trust that it's gonna be
yeah.
taken care of, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was so much fun, and I'm excited for us to get to make more. It's
oh,
gonna
pumped.
Be because
I feel like
great.
To your point about, like, how you guys, like, make all these things together, I don't know if you feel this way. I feel like in comedy, And in writing, there's this idea that it's like you're going to write your solo pilot and it's going to be your ticket out of this hellhole. And it's like, solo pilot, who the fuck writes it? Like, what? That is not what art is. Like, and then why? So we can get put in a writer's room with a stranger? Like, what? Yeah. We're making shit now with people here now. Like, yeah. That all, like, there are, you're right, there are so many, like, hands that went into this. Like, so many skills that, like, one person brought that just, like, are so unique. Like, that man that would run backward. Like, there's so much of that. And I don't know. That's beautiful. Like, that's what we want to make forever. Like, we don't want to, like, what?
No,
I don't know.
Totally. I mean, especially right now, there's just, like, not a lot of TV going. There's not a lot of TV happening. And in terms of comedy, there's no, next to nothing. It's like, okay, maybe, you know, we get staffed in a room for a show that we don't really care about, or
but we
get,
will
we will, but for the check we'll do it,
we'll shine it on,
but okay. But you know what I mean, or we no, get to totally. Do our passion, our thing that we actually want to do, and it's like, you know, taking it back yes. into our own hands has just felt really liberating in that way. And it's like yeah. okay, we have purpose and drive and something we're working towards, and you know,
like at no point, to your point, like you never commented on, we were never censored on this, not one time.
Yeah,
there was never like no. yeah, we never, like there would never. None
and there were
that.
Times too. I remember, like,
there was times where I wanted to. Let me say that.
But there were. It was an interesting thing for me because, like, here I am, right? You guys brought the script, right? And now it's like my job to go ahead and like make it happen. And you guys were so into all of these like creative ideas that I brought up. Like, I remember when I brought up the idea of genre, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, there's the world when it's just the two of them. And then there's the world when they're separate. And like for you, Nico, in this episode, like you were kind of like more in that noir-esque, like film when you're like looking through the tree, trying to figure out like, oh, like where's your stuff?
Yeah.
And like Connor's in this rom-com, you know, head over heels looking for love. And you guys were just so down to go ahead and go play with style, play around a little bit with some different camera movements for that stuff. That it was just super, super fun. And like, I know for me, I'm like, oh wow, like these guys, if I have an idea and it would make sense for the story, like you'll run with me with it, which is like, was really, really fun and liberating when planning the whole process for this.
Definitely.
I feel like that conversation made us write differently afterwards. Cause that's not something that you think about if you don't have like a background in film. Like yeah. if you're just like writing scripts, like that we're not like, and then this will be kind of like a film. It's just like not... I don't feel like that's like naturally in your toolbox as a non-film person.
Yeah.
So like that was so interesting to think about like with other episodes.
100%. I mean, because we're both completely self-taught in this, right? And like we came yeah. to it through stand-up and then just wanting to like write scripted things and wanting to work in, but having no background in that. So like when you brought up those types of conversations, I felt like, and something I was so excited by from the jump was like you brought all these visual things that you wanted to think about, and you had such great like visual touch points for us to look at. And I was like, oh, we're in such good hands because we have somebody who can help us sort of exactly what the director's supposed to do. Show us what it's going to visually look like. Show us what we're going to be playing with and like seeing what we're wanting to do and the things that we probably didn't even have the language to express. And then you brought that to us and was like, oh, that makes so much sense. So like it just felt like so naturally a collaboration from the jump of like, okay, we can give you... You can see what we're going for, even though we don't even really know that was what we were going for until mm-hmm. you said it. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's great. That's so fun. Yeah. And then, yeah, like just having somebody who has, yeah, that visual mind. That, and like I think about that with Wes, too, the fact that he just like knows about what the light and the colors are going to do. I'm like, that's something I could never even kind of imagine. Yeah. So like it's so cool to like have these people that have these different expertise to like bring that holistically, because a film really does take an entire village to make happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the most collaborative mediums,
yeah.
I think, of all time is film.
Yeah, which I really love because, yeah. like, being in a stand-up, it's such a solo pursuit, and you're just by, you know, I mean, obviously, we work a lot together and you know, run things by each other, and we go to shows and mics and stuff together, but it is, at the end of the day, it's a solo pursuit, and, like, it's just mm-hmm. you up there and just you figuring out really what's going to work. But I had such a blast getting to do something with other people, and, like...
Yeah.
From,
I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like going to go to film school. I Googled it. And then I was like, don't do this.
Well, so what was so cool is like it felt like film school. Or the thing I hear all the time after one of our film sets is that it feels like camp.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like summer camp. You know, all these strangers in a space for 5 days. And we're putting on like the end of the year talent show where the parents go to, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you want to put on a good show because the parents spend a lot of money. But at the same time, it's these, you know, kids just having fun, figuring it out. And it's there are inside jokes, there are a lot of fun awful photos of me, you know, by the end, and it's just always a pleasure. And
wait, I need to make sure that iPad's recording.
I think that it
definitely is, but
wait, I'm nervous that it's gonna, oh my god, it's totally recording. Wow.
This episode is brought to you by Intrusive Thoughts. Well, that might be a great segue for us to get into the boys' clubs. No, I don't want to. I mean, I've been enjoying us talking about. But anyway,
what if it died?
To wrap this part of the conversation up, go watch our episode Grindset Mindset. Alex directed and we, you know, executive produced, as Connor mentioned, and acted in, and we EP'd, making sure everybody on set was well taken care of. But anyway, yeah, we're trying to make some more, and so we're raising some money to do that. So if you have some extra cash or people that know people that do, check out our GoFundMe, and we're going to be bringing some more fun episodes to you guys. On that note,
is there a boys club that you're not a part of?
Yes. Okay. So, you know, and I'm okay, I think, not being part of this boy club, this boys club, but like, you know, the boys club where like in high school, there were all these boys, like if they like ever like had a first kiss or anything like that, like, you know, they would talk about it, right? They talk about sex and kisses and all that stuff. I was not that guy. I'm still not that guy. Like, I never talk about that stuff, and I'm okay with it because I feel like that's just for me, you know, and I'm happy.
Yeah. How about you? I mean, I guess this is an interesting thing because you and I being queer, I don't think that probably added an element. I mean, you weren't talking about this in high school.
No, I was not talking about this in high school. I was always Catholic school.
But were you like, were you getting into those conversations with guys if they were talking about it? Were you trying to blend in that way at all?
I feel like that was like, I remember when I learned what third base was, and it was like, that's psychotic. That's crazy. That I'm not going to name their names, but I still remember the two people that got to third base in Lexi. What's her?
Wow.
Her house did burn down, but in her
built
basement. Built it back better, as they do, as they're wont to do. Yeah. The two people, and they were in seventh grade. That's like young to get to third base, right?
Yeah. Is third base blowjob?
And finger.
Whoa.
Wow. Okay.
It feels crazy to talk about it now.
And finger. No, I remember being in seventh grade and hearing people were making out and doing, like, giving blowjobs at, like, the movie theaters, and I was, like, so scandalized. I was a late bloomer for sure.
At the movie theater. That's so gross.
Oh, my God, right? And it's like, I also never was just, I think also part of me being raised Catholic, I've always been very like sensitive, I think, about talking about sex in general.
Totally.
I don't talk about it on stage. Like I've never done like, I mean, you do some sex material, but it's not really about that.
It's about power. It's about power. And if you're hearing my sex material, actually I changed one punchline to make this one. It's a throwaway line where I say, I remember the joke about, you've never seen me do stand up. Do you remember the joke?
Yes,
when
he has.
I
know
one.
You yeah, a few. Where I watch all of his shows.
I say, it's so dumb. I say, I gauge that he was a bottom because he gets a salad. Like, that's not the punchline, but it's like in the story.
Yeah.
He got a salad. I said, the salad's gross. I don't need you to talk about, this isn't about that. So I say, I gauge who was a bottom. He let me pay or something like that.
Yeah.
And like, neither of those are like a laugh out loud thing, but like, it's more interesting to be like, that's a more interesting, less sex. That's not about sex.
Yeah.
That's about roles.
But your material that you do that has to do with sex is not necessary. It's not like just about that. It's about like your anxiety about where you stand in like the context of gay men at large. It's just talking about the way that intersects with your identity.
Yeah, you're so right.
But like, the people that are like, you know, this girl gave me a blowjob or whatever, like, I'm like, that's not my my thing. Yeah.
So for me, I have one story like related to all this, and it's the same thing where it's like, it's not really about sex, but like, you know, it was the instigator of it all.
Yeah.
I swallowed my girlfriend's earring once. Have I told you guys about this?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Expensive?
No, it was a sample. For this company that I can't name on
Claire's.
No.
And you're like, you can't name it.
She works for.
Yeah. So what happened was, like, you know, we're having sex, and literally like whatever, her earring falls out during it, and my mouth is wide open, and I swallow it whole. And I push her off, and I go, I just swallowed your earring. And she reaches, and she doesn't feel it. She goes, no, you didn't. I go, it's in me right now. We immediately go to the ER. All right. They tell me, okay, we're going to have to go have you do an endoscopy, I think is what it's called, where they put you under and they try to go, like, fish it out.
Oh, God.
So I call my dad. I go, Dad, Like it's like 7 a.m.
Is he a doctor? Like,
he's a doctor, you know, doctors. Yeah. And I go.
It's 7 a.m.
It happened
Alex.
At midnight. And then okay, 7 a.m. they finally like, got to me.
I was like, what are you, a priest? you're literally Elon Musk getting up at 6 in the morning.
My first day starts at 4 a.m. where I'm intimate and swallow my girlfriend's earring.
My girlfriend's earring. But I call my dad. I go, Dad, I'm in the hospital. I'm okay. I swallowed my girlfriend's earring. You know, you can tell Mom, please don't tell anyone else. He goes, I got you. I end the call and I get a text message from my sister Rachel. Going, the phone was on speaker, so my whole family knew.
I also love that he's like, you'll find out. He's
like, oh, that is, the phone was on speaker. That is tough.
They're all there at 7 a.m.
Yeah, so it was my sister and my younger sister. They were all there home for the weekend.
Oh. That's funny. Oh my God. Yeah.
How do they get it out?
So I woke up from the endoscopy and Maddie's right next to me and she goes, they didn't get it. And I'm like, what do you mean they didn't get it? And I guess my metabolism processed the earring so fast.
Brag.
It was already, yeah, humble brat. It was already in my intestine, so they couldn't reach it.
It's kind of nice to know about your metabolism.
Yeah. It kind of felt pretty good. But it became a wait and see thing where I was in the hospital for 3 days.
Holy shit.
No food, no water.
Why is it so bad to swallow an earring?
Because there's a sharp end for the earring and they're scared it might like puncture it.
Yeah.
And so I'm now in the hospital. It's like day three, they're getting scared because it's no longer like going down my track or whatever.
Oh my God, they should keep that to themselves. They're gonna scare you.
The doctor's like, oh boy, I don't know how to tell you this one right here.
I haven't seen anything like this.
Yeah. So what they did is they gave me a bunch of laxatives as like a Hail Mary to kind of go ahead and like flush it out. Yeah. You know?
You come in a gay podcast talk about laxatives
all the time. And I remember I am with Maddie, she's by the bedside. Nature starts calling, and I run to the bathroom with a popsicle stick and a little bedpan. And the popsicle stick was to like dig for the treasure, right?
Jeez.
And I run to the bathroom, and it's just like, it's awful.
Yeah.
And very quickly, it's like ricocheting and hitting the bedpan, and then hitting me. So it's getting all over me, and I feel awful and gross. My girlfriend's right around the corner. So I get this bright idea. I'm going to go ahead and take off my gown. You know, I'm going to be butt ass naked, easier to clean up. Right. And so here I am. I'm butt ass naked. Right. Splitting into this tub. My IV machine is attached to me. It's like beeping because something's wrong and whatnot. I'm feeling pretty smart, but I'm not smart enough because I forgot to lock the door. And in comes a random stranger. Into the bathroom.
Oh, God.
And I look at him and I go, get out of here. Go away. And that was my lowest low.
That is horrible.
Did they apologize?
They did not. They just ran.
I always have this intrusive thought whenever I'm having bad stomach times on the can that I'm going to get kidnapped. That somebody's going to break in and try to like kidnap me. But I'm in the middle of...
Why would they do that?
Because I'm like, what's the worst time that this could happen? When I'm shitting my brains out?
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? I used to have that all the time as a kid. Like, what if there's a home invasion while I'm like on the can?
Because you can't leave. You have to wait till business is done.
Right? Like, you're like, just give me a second, then you guys can take me away. I'm going to be
that
about 10 pounds later.
Thought. There are those stories when you were a kid. They should stop making... You should tell the film people this. Stop giving us movies and things where people just kind of come in at random. It doesn't happen a lot, but we're so worried about it.
Yeah.
Like, that does not happen a lot. The risk of someone just coming in at random and slaughtering all of us, very small. It did happen in Idaho, sure. But, like, that was so shocking. We talked about it for months. This is way over-indexed in movies. Way over a prison.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love a good kidnapping, though. Like, there was a kidnapping in Danbury, Connecticut, like, a couple months ago. I just read about this.
How old?
It was a husband and wife. So
that's good.
All right.
Two adults.
Seven, eight. Okay.
Oh, 45. No problem.
That's fucked up.
That's an adult napping.
They had a full life. Yeah. But the car T-boned into them, and so the husband got kidnapped. And what happened was, was their son in high school, he was really into cryptocurrency, and he somehow swindled a man out of $230 million in
holy
cryptocurrency.
Holy shit.
And then he told all of his friends like who were also like scammers online and whatnot, and they found out his real identity, and they double-crossed him, found out where his dad was. And they kidnapped the dad to try to get the money from the kid.
Wow, that's kind of a reverse ransom story. The dad gets kidnapped instead of the kid.
Did they kill the dad?
The dad is alive. The kid is in jail for the $230 million con. And the other people are in jail for the kidnapping.
Wow.
That's a crazy story.
I want the rights.
That's like, a movie, yeah, there's a way.
I don't like that.
You don't like that?
What crime did he commit? I am anti-everyone.
Swindling.
Well, but it sounds like, it sounded like a prank phone call. I guess what he just did is he just found the person with the money's like number and was like, "Hi, I'm Google here. You need to go ahead and download this." Like,
that's literally
software.
Me being like, "We're trying to raise money for a web theory." And it's a web theory.
I know. If only we could mass fraud, and
queer media is really important right now.
We just start going by straight people, making them scan a QR code that actually takes all their money.
That is what we need. Anytime I give someone my phone, I'm like, "Are you gonna Venmo yourself all the money?" Like, what?
Oh, true. My Venmo is locked with my face though.
Yeah, but that was so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, okay, so to get back to the original, first of all, that story is insane, and I'm glad that your stomach is okay.
All good.
All good now. Yeah. But yeah, I obviously, like, you know, because I wasn't getting to live as a young man in middle school, so I, like, was a little bit out of this club as well, but I remember being so, scandalized anybody time people would talk about sex, because I was like, people are doing that? Like, why are we, and they're talking about it? Like, but it's funny, because, like, there's a lot of, it's interesting. It's an instinct that happens to, like, middle school boys, but doesn't, like, leave a lot of guys, like, still think that it's, like, super macho to be, like, talking about their sexual conquests in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you sound like an idiot.
I know. And it's very counterintuitive to true love. True love is where it's, like, this stays between the two of us. I want to get engaged and no one will know for 2 days. No one's going to know for 2 days.
For 2 days.
Yeah.
48 hours.
There's
you guys.
Literally no way that you would get engaged and not tell people.
What if for tonight it's just us?
You think your dad's not going to know immediately?
I think it's just what if we're the only two people in the whole world that know? What if we're the only two people?
That's romantic.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that you're going to be able to keep the lid on that for longer than about 12 hours.
I'll talk
hours.
To my dad and he'll be like, "You seem really happy." And I'll be like, "It's going to be okay." I want to get married for logistical reasons. Like,
for like taxes and stuff?
Or? All of it. It's just like, what is a sensible next step marriage? Like, it's like, I do need a house. Like, I would like a home. And I don't know. There's a lot. Homes can be, if it's a big house, who cares who the guy is? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'll see you at dinner. Like, it's,
yeah.
I don't know. So I do feel like that should happen. But I think it's beautiful to keep things between you, keep things to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the whole reason why you have a relationship with somebody is like, you're creating that connection between the two of you right here. And it's your world and it's only your world. And every now and then you can go show people what this world's like. But for the most part, the reason why you're in a relationship with that person isn't for other people. It's because you care about that person. You love that person. And you want to spend your life with that person.
But then one time I was in this like toxic relationship where we would get back together and then off together and then back together. And it'd be like, I can't believe that people have an opinion about our relationship. I'd be like, it's so crazy. I'd be like,
it's so crazy Nico has thoughts on this.
Wait, that's so true. That totally did happen.
To be fair, okay, listen, I was trying to balance.
Not just you.
No, I know, but I was trying to balance like letting you do your thing and letting you learn find your way without my input, but also wanting to protect you as a friend, you know?
I would never say I told you so. And it would take me a lot to like give someone like my real opinions like on their relationship. My whole thing right there is that as long as you're not harming each other, you're okay.
Yeah.
You know? Totally. But the second that starts happening, you know, you're my friend.
I think that was in the context of, I was like, what if you didn't post that we were like, because I think I dated someone one time who would use social media as a weapon.
Yeah.
And we would like post when we were together. And it's like, we're on and off. Why do we need to post that? Like, why do we need to post that? We're like, that feels like, get good with you first. Get good with you. Like, let's go. We'll post, we'll celebrate our 10 year. When we have a consecutive 10 year, you can post about it.
Yeah.
But that's
at
not
this
that.
Rate.
We cannot be posting. Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
We saw Barbarian together. Justin Long's in that.
There we go.
Yeah, that's
it
the
all
movie.
Goes back to Justin Long.
Yeah.
Rhode Island, he's the for $4?
Yeah, it was like $4 movie Tuesday.
Man.
Yeah.
Wow. Rhode Island's doing it different.
Yeah. Beautiful. That was actually the saddest part, is that I love Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any ties there? Do you want to go?
I'm going in 2 weeks if you want to come to my sister's graduation.
Oh my God. From University of Rhode Island?
Roger Williams.
Wait, I'm so...
There's
wait,
so many
in
schools
Narragansett?
There.
I don't know. The Hope Bridge? Does that sound right?
I don't know. It's like Providence.
Yeah, I feel like it is Providence.
Yeah.
It's the best
Rhode Island's not that big, so...
It's such a nice state.
You could probably get there.
It's so pretty.
Farms, beaches. There was this like coffee house.
The Mafia. Oh, really?
Is there a lot of mafia ties?
Oh, yes. Not anymore, I don't think. Well, I mean, maybe some a little bit. But there, I listened to this whole podcast about the mafia in Rhode Island. It was like the mayor was involved. It was a big thing.
Yeah. You're always learning something, and it stresses me out. Because I'm like, I'm never learning anything. And it's like, you're adding.
But you're listening to Gigi Perez, and I don't know about that. So, like, there's different things that we learn about.
I listened to the same song with Gigi Perez literally 200 times. The same song. And it that's like an addict. But I keep just going back to the part that I like again and again and again. It's like so beautiful.
Yeah.
If my dreams wash up empty, if my dreams come up empty and I wash upon the shore, you'll find me at the beach in every life through every door.
Wow.
Okay. Go check on him. Check on your friend.
Yeah.
I keep sending the album to people and I'm worried they're going to be like, are you okay?
If your Spotify Wrapped is Julian Baker and Gigi Perez, I'm going to do a wellness check. I'm doing a wellness check.
I think people are probably going to be refreshed that it's like, I'm not talking about Taylor as much. Because I went straight for the Bane, which is Gigi.
Well,
she's so good. She should have everything in the whole world. I keep Googling her to see if anyone's giving her praise on the internet, and I'm not seeing a lot of it. She is the best album I've ever heard.
She just put the album out about 3 days ago, so give it time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that Boys Club. Should we do our next one?
That's a great Boys Club. Also, I think gay people should be having sex younger, because if they were, then sex wouldn't be so weird, and you wouldn't be giving a handy to a guy from the supermarket that you work out outside of a liquor store. You know what I mean?
And that's no particular story. That's no one's particular anecdote.
A guy who's in like an orchestra. Not a band, an orchestra. That's not cool. Okay, that's not cool.
You're giving a handy to the fourth cello.
I actually think, it's bad. Is bad. I think actually I let him give me a handy, which is one of those things where it's
well, you know, when you've got this kind of motion, he's got it down.
Yeah. It's the only thing he could do. And he worked behind the deli, so like his whole job was
so he's got good forearms. We know
my
that.
My dad still goes to that grocery store. Yeah, dad.
Don't listen to this, Mr. Janda.
He sent a picture. He's like, someone drove into the grocery store yesterday. And I was like, and then he got like asked about it. And it's like, but he's not sending the right questions. Cause I was like, were they okay? I was like, I need to know, was this a crazy person?
Yeah.
That's what you got to get to the bottom of.
I feel like if somebody's driving into a building, they're either going insane or it's an older person who probably maybe shouldn't be driving anymore.
Probably that. That was a pretty old people.
Or if you have like an incident on the road, then you like a seizure or something.
What do you feel like ultimately as a boys club that you are a part of?
Ooh, boys club that I am a part of. I think that I am part of the boys club of like poker nights, game nights, things like that.
Yeah.
You know, like very much so. I'm very game forward.
You did a traitor's party.
I missed it. Did I not tell you this? I was so sad. There was a traitor's party where they, you know, they do the show Traitors and whatnot. And I was stuck on set, so I couldn't make it. But it looked like a lot of fun. And I couldn't go. And I was very sad. But I love, like, Werewolf, Mafia, Among Us, Jackbox party games, Catan. A lot of Catan. Like, my whole thing is, like, I wasn't, like, the most athletic guy. I'm still not the most athletic guy.
Hey, you ran a half marathon.
Stop.
Come on.
That's gosh.
Not something we can say. Have you run a half marathon?
You're not athletic. I've never.
Me neither. So
you might not be athletic, but I think you are fit.
Thank you.
And honestly, at this point in your life, that's what matters, not to be a bitch. Sorry. Not to be a bitch. That's more important.
Yeah.
Athletic. What do you have to catch a ball? Like, that's not going to save you from the apocalypse.
That's so true.
But being able to run 13 miles, that'll get you out of the out of the radiation zone or something.
For sure. My big thing growing up has always just been like playing games with people, getting really competitive. I lie a lot in games too. I love to lie. I love to stir the pot. My friends call me Flubber because they just can't trust anyone if we play games.
Like the movie from the 90s?
Like the movie from the 90s with Robin Williams.
Classic.
Classic. R.I.P. And I love when people get into it as much as I am. Like, my favorite moment is when Wesley's girlfriend yelled at me mid-game, and I'm like, yes. Yes, that's
why did she yell at you?
Because I was being a jerk. I was probably like
what game was it?
I think it was probably Jackbox Party Games. Maybe it was Werewolf. I don't know.
What is Werewolf?
Werewolf is a game where you're all gathered together, and you all have, like, different parts and whatnot, like, for different roles and whatnot. And one of the roles is werewolf, where you're trying to go ahead and go kill other people. And your job is, if you're not the werewolf, is to find out who are the werewolves.
So it's like traitors. Get them out.
Similar to Mafia.
Very similar to Mafia and Traitors. And my whole thing is like, I'm like, there's a right way to play the game. It was Mario Party. That's the one I think where she was really bad at.
I love Mario Party.
Well, because my whole thing with games is like, there is a strategy, right? There is a way to go ahead and go like win the game. And then if you're just like, gonna be like on the sidelines, like I don't want you there, like I want you in and right here. I want you yelling at me. My favorite thing that's ever happened to me in a game is when I was playing a game of Catan And one person, my roommate, leaves to go to the bathroom. And when she comes back, my other friend looks at her and goes, Alex says he hates you. Just so that she wouldn't trade with me in the game. Which I think was so smart and so good. And I like that's a good social
cue. Do you actually survive?
No, I need to.
Never?
Never.
Oh, my God. No. I think you would like
right up your alley.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love doing that in Catan, too. I'm not great at, like, I've played, like, Secret Hitler, which is, like, a Mafia-style game. I'm not great at those because I'm not great at those. But I do love playing Catan because I like to be able to be, like, hey, fuck you if you don't trade with me. Like, I like fucking with people that way that's, like, actually not at all involved in the game, but like we can like have fun while we're doing it. But then the game itself has a little bit more like, because I think I struggle with like Mafia because I get in my head about the, am I playing it right? Am I gonna get found out? If I'm a faithful or like a, you know, the non-Mafia person, I like that when I'm on the wrong side, like when I'm the bad guy, I'm like, oh fuck, I'm gonna fuck this up. I'm not gonna do a good job.
I guess what's nice about being a traitor is that you're like, you guys are my main bitches. Ride with you. Because like, there's no community in being a faithful. Whereas, because you don't know
there
who the other ones
be,
are.
There can be, but it's hard. Yeah.
You can't totally know. Whereas with traders, like, it's us.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it is really fun, especially if you get a good group of people together who are, like, super friendly with each other, and you can, like, really, like, fuck around and go there. Like, it's a ton of fun.
I used to make everyone play Survivor with me when I was a kid, but then one time my uncle got mad at me because he's like, you can't have people be voted out. And I was like, no, they're on the jury. Do not understand the game. And it's also like, okay, liberal America. Okay, woke guy.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we have to all win.
He gets a trophy.
Yeah, literally, participation.
I know. I was like, that in the world, people are going to get voted out.
Yeah.
And it's okay. You're not a bad person, mm-hmm. but you are out of the game.
There are so many, like there are so many moments in the world where we can like be like shitty people to each other, and like that's just like not the way to like treat others, right?
Yeah,
you know, like treat people with respect, you know, be kind, wish them a happy birthday if it's their birthday. But like when you go into a game, like in a board game, like you can be like your worst self and be and still win.
Yeah,
and I think that's beautiful. so special and so much fun.
Wait, wasn't it just your birthday? Are you
it
Taurus?
Was. I'm an Aries.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about that one.
Air sign.
Are you an air sign?
Fire sign?
Fire.
Yeah,
fire
big
sign.
Shock.
Wow.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to send you tweets that are like, Libra, your time is coming, or like, Libra, don't text them back, that are always like, how many can I send a day that won't be annoying? Like two?
I don't care. Send them away. Yeah.
I'll send you Aries ones.
Don't text them back. I don't even know who that would be.
I'll send them to you. Just think about it. You don't know, but when you think about it, you'll be like, oh, it's probably this person.
Oh, yeah, it's probably this. Yeah.
My Twitter knows I'm about my sign, and it keeps sending me stuff.
No, I've been very into just liking people's messages if I don't feel like responding. Just being,
now I'll feel sad of
you. No, not you. Random people.
Too much
who are
look behind the
curtain. No, random people.
I like was like, oh, I really like this.
No. I like if somebody reaches out to me and I'm like, I'm not responding to this, I'll just like the message.
Well, it can be real. There's all. I think a like can be louder than a red.
Yeah.
Like if it depends what the, if you send a, if the task at hand is charged perhaps and you like it. Oh my God! Like you're to not give someone what they want is insane.
Should we go ahead and go to this restaurant or go see a movie? Like the message.
That's crazy.
Psycho behavior, right?
Psycho.
There. That's where I ban them.
Yeah.
Removed. Really removed contact.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Damn.
Happy birthday though. You're a fire
sign.
Happy
belated. Thank you so much. Well, I hate to wrap us up, but I have to get to work.
What do you feel like
pretty soon?
If you had to say as a boys club you wish to see in the world, what would you say it is?
Oh, a boys club I wish to see in the world.
Make it quick. So
yeah. Honestly, I think I just want to go see a boys club where it's more those like people more boys my age volunteering. You know, like literally, I just feel like a lot of us in our mid to late 20s. You know, it's very much career focused right there, and no one's giving back. I feel like in college there may have been this little spread where people were giving back, but the second you graduate, it's back to me. So if there's just, if we can kind of go ahead and go create that society where we're like, we're volunteering, we're raising money for causes and things like that. This is the time when we're like, we're like the most fit we'll ever be, the most healthy we'll ever be. Like now's the time to go ahead and give back.
I'm running the region 4x4. It is the most fit I'll ever be. It's supposed to make my heart 20 years younger, so 6. And it's where you sprint for 4 minutes, you walk for 3, you do it 4 times. You sprint all out.
How did this come about out of a conversation?
You said it's the most fit we'll ever be, and I wanted to get it into the episode. But let's go.
Humble brag.
Let's volunteer. Boys Club cast, we can volunteer.
Yeah,
we'll
definitely.
Do that.
Definitely.
We'll go to a kitchen. We'll go to one of the things. You're right. I used to do that all the time.
There's this a place called Young Arts, I think is what it's called. And it's what they do is they have people around our age go ahead to people in the school systems who are like under the age of 10. And we go ahead and we do like an arts program with them after school.
That's
like
great.
Arts and crafts and things like that. So if you guys are interested, I'll let you guys know the next time they do that.
Yeah, definitely.
It's really fun.
Wait, yeah, for sure.
I so agree with you because it feels like in high school and college, you have like, you know, structures for this type of thing. And there's like, you know, groups on campus that are dedicated to this kind of volunteer work that have been there forever, and people just keep filling those in as their work. And, you know, and like, you know, I'm sure there's a little bit of it that's a sort of self-involved side of it that's like, you know, I'm doing this for my resume or I'm doing this for this. But then once you get a job and you're graduated and you're like, you know, we have to raise ourselves and feed ourselves and a little bit focus on ourselves. But it does feel like it, like, you know, young life lacks that access or just lacks that initiative to do that. And I think about that a lot because we have, like, you know, schedules that allow for some extra time to find and, like, wanting to find ways to connect with our community. And especially right now, it just feels like that's a good thing to be thinking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And especially for young men who are looking for purpose and looking for community right now so much, I think it's, like, it'll be a really great thing to see.
Great way to end the loneliness epidemic.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't be lonely. Go volunteer at a soup kitchen or something.
Boom,
yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Fixed. Solved.
Well, Alex, thank you so much for being on the podcast. We fucking love you, dude. Is there anything you want to let the people know where they can, you know, see your work and see your stuff?
Yeah. Go on to our website, anotherwednesday.com, or follow us at Another Wednesday. For all of our future work, we have short films
coming
up.
Because when you work in film, every day is another Wednesday.
Yeah, when you work with us, every day is another Wednesday.
Yeah, when Wills so first much. Said that, I was like, so you guys like wrote that? I was like, that's so interesting. I like it's a bit, I love it.
Yeah. What day is today?
Today is another Monday.
It's all right.
Yeah. Awesome. Yes, awesome. Check out their work. Obviously, you'll get to see more of his work as we put out more episodes of Boys Club. Feel free, you know, in the name of supporting other people, feel free to throw off some money if you're straight and rich. amazing. Well, Alex, thanks for being on the podcast.
Awesome.
Boys, we'll be back next week. Bye.